more ideas, different points of view, in-depth discussion, and thoughtful analysis. Welcome to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN, your exclusive look inside Milwaukee County government. Here's your host, Harold Mester.
Good evening, Milwaukee County. Pleasure to be with you again. This is the May 1st, 2011 edition of Inside the County Board. We are coming to you on location from the County Board offices this month. Great show for you in store tonight, beginning with the two newest members of the County Board, and we'll feature some remarks made by Interim County Executive Marvin Pratt. Those were given to the County Board near the end of his tenure with Milwaukee County. We are here tonight in the office of Supervisor Eon Biddle, Sr. Supervisor Biddle, thanks for being with us tonight.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
All right. Now, you were elected in April 5th right. to the 10th District. Now, that was the seat previously held by Supervisor Elizabeth Coggs. Right. So I guess let's just start off with a little bit of your background and where you're from. You grew up in Milwaukee?
Born and raised in the 10th District, actually on 15th and Island. Went to MPS schools, Rufus King High School, Garden Homes Elementary, and Hartford Avenue Elementary School. Actually grew up in the parks in the 10th District, Johnson's Park, Tiefen Tiller, and King Park. So born and raised in Milwaukee native, love Milwaukee. And both of mine, I got 29 years old, married with two children, and plan to be here for a while. So, yeah.
Previously, you worked at the Service Employees International Union.
Right.
So what did that entail?
A lot of my career background was in nonprofits, so I started at New Concept Self-Development Center, working with kids, worked for the first time Juvenile Offenders Program, which is with Milwaukee County. For kids who caught their first case, I would help them get their records cleared if they comply with my program. From there on, I went to Running Rebels Community Organization, which is actually in the 10th District, working for the Going Home Project. And for kids who were in Wales, the correctional facility for the juveniles, when their time was up and they had to come back to society, I would help them get jobs, get back into school. I was like a mentor for them. From then on, I did the school safety program at Marshall High School, working with kids who were frequently in school suspended. So I did that, mentored those kids. And the problem that I was seeing was that when I was working in the homes and the schools, a lot of parents were working 2-3 low-paying jobs to make ends meet, and they couldn't be at home to be parents to their children. So I wanted to affect the economics of my community. And so my wife actually applied to the Service Employees International Union on Craigslist, and she sent my resume. I didn't know that she did it, and they told me that I could beat up on bad guys. But the connection that I made was if I could organize workers into better jobs, they can be at home and be more parents to their children, and we can have better community. So that's kind of why I went to Service Employees International Union. I did some organizing drives in Milwaukee against Clean Power, Wisconsin's largest non-union cleaning contractor. I got this ordinance, the city ordinance passed, and I did lobbying work. At the time, I didn't have any conception of politics. I didn't know what an alderman or a county supervisor did. You know, but I got this ordinance passed, and I was doing lobbying work, and I got really excited about politics. I ended up meeting with Alderman Willie Wade and past Supervisor Tony Clark, and they kind of were like my early on mentors, helping me get acclimated into the political world. And then I actually got temporarily relocated into Chicago with my union, doing some organizing drives against Wackenhut, which tried to take some of our members from one of our union shops. And we got those members back in, and then did a organizing drive for our members to get the best contract that they've had in about 15 years in the suburbs of Chicago and Chicago. And then from then on, I did the Obama campaign. In 2008, I worked in Gary, East Chicago, Hammond, and Detroit, where I had a lead role. I supervised a canvas of native Detroitans, like 66 people, and we did some organizing out there, and that's when I really reignited my flame for politics. And there was a job opening back in Wisconsin, back home, because the whole time I'm away from my family, at the time my wife and my daughter, and they had a job as a deputy political director for the Service Employees International Union, and some folks thought it was too early in my career to get that position, but I got it, and I came back and I started doing lobbying work. I was assistant lobbyist on the state and the city. We didn't have a lot of county work. So I did that, ran some campaigns, and got promoted to the executive director. So I oversaw the whole political program for and legislative program for 18,000 members statewide. and 8 SEIU local unions in, within the state. So I, you know, I did health care, I did the financial reform, unemployment benefits for those who were affected by this recession. Did a lot of good things. The mayoral takeover work, the past biennium in the state budget, home, the Quality Home Care Authority, which expanded family care for folks across the state. So I did a lot of good work, a lot of good things. And coming out of the 2010 midterm elections, it was depressing. Democrats got beat up really bad. Working class families took a hit. And I remember complaining about it. And someone asked me, one of my colleagues said, what are you going to do about it? And I've always wanted to run, always flirted with the idea of the possibility. I was going to make an earlier run in 2010, but I ended up getting the promotion and not doing it. But I still had the desire to at least try. You know, and if I lost, I lost. But at least I could say that I achieved, you know, I did attempt one of my life goals. And Elizabeth Cox, the past supervisor, she won her race and was going to the state assembly. It was an open seat. In Milwaukee, those don't come up very often. So either gets promoted, resigns, goes to jail, or they unfortunately pass away. And I just went for it. I didn't know who else was running. I didn't really care. I wanted it. I thought this would be a good opportunity to really get my feet wet as an elected official. Get on the ground level, really know the district, really know the people, build up a base, and do some good work. And so I ran.
So was it a tough campaign? I know you had – you had like three opponents in the beginning?
I had four opponents. It was very tough because at the time my wife was pregnant with our son, and I wasn't really around a lot to help her out with the pregnancy. And then he was born in January. And so, new baby, it's a lot of things going on. So I wasn't really around for his first couple of months. I've actually started spending some more time with him since the campaign's been over. But it was a tough campaign. It was a very crowded field. Voters didn't know who I was. Fortunately for me, I had a grandfather and a grandmother who was kind of popular in the district, because they were hardcore church people. Mm-hmm. I had a great uncle who played, Dennis Biddle, who played for the Negro Leagues. So a lot of folks knew the name Biddle. But it was a lot of door knocking. Mm-hmm. I raised a lot of money and knocked on a lot of doors. And I got out there early. I remember I was waiting to see when she would resign so I could start officially circulating papers. And I remember looking on JS Online, and it said that she resigned, and I called the executives off, the county executive's office, to see if he really gave the order. They said he did. I think I called three times. I tried to disguise my voice three distinct times so I could make sure that, you know, I had the authority to go out and start collecting signatures. And then that was December 22nd. And I prior to that, I got my thermals. I got my boots. I was ready. I had my clipboards. I was ready. So as soon as they gave me the go-ahead, I went out that day and started collecting signatures, and I worked through Christmas, I worked through New Year's. I was working hard, man.
And it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and I ended up coming out the primary of 44% of the vote. I had four other opponents. I did about five or six candidate forums. I sent maybe like 7-8 mail pieces. I did a lot of points of contact, but I wanted to flood the community with my name. So by April 5th, folks were just tired of hearing about me and ended up winning the general election with 56% of the vote. So,
well, congratulations and welcome to the board.
Thank you.
What's it been like as you have gotten acclimated with things? You went through your first board meeting. You've had two board meetings now so far.
Yeah.
So how has that been?
Interesting. I took a couple of days off, and I really didn't have days off. I had other things I needed to do. But I started going to the committee meetings prior to the first board meeting just to get a feel for the different dynamics and the issues, and studying the committee agendas and the board package. So I took a lot of time to study. And about that first board meeting, it was, you know, I was nervous. Not nervous, but I was really anxious to get sworn in. And I didn't know when that was going to happen. The dates got changed a couple times. When you win, you figure you're just going to walk into the office the next day and get to work, but it's not quite like that. You're not truly the supervisor until you're certified and sworn in. So that was kind of tough. But
when you kind of, I mean, you had some difficult votes to take right on that first board meeting. Some
right.
things that were contentious within the board, and you know,
well, when you come in fresh, you don't really have all the history or the baggage. You know, I mean, I'm coming in just voting my conscience and doing what I think the people of the 10th district want me to do. So I just wanted to make sure I didn't make a fool of myself, because I know you guys televise these board meetings, and I just wanted to make sure that I looked like I knew what I was doing. So I studied as well as I could. I got sworn in. We had some cake. A lot of family was there, so I was pretty pumped up that day. But when it came time to vote, I was very clear on what I was voting on, and very confident in the decisions that I made. So, you know, we had the O'Donnell situation. We had the redistricting. But other than that, it wasn't too much heavy lifting. It was just common sense things, and I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, well, you have a good attitude, and your outlook is positive. And what are some of the things you want to work on during your term here as a supervisor?
Well, I campaigned first on jobs and economic development, and you know, when I first campaigned on that, you know, people said, well, the county doesn't really do that, and I disagree with them, because we have a lot of development opportunities with Park East, the Research Park, the expansions down at the airport. So there's a lot of different ways that we can develop and really get a strategic vision on where we're going with that, because I know the Park East development has stalled, and I'm very hopeful that the city and the county can work together and work out those differences and get some movement going. And a part of that, So, and part of the jobs and economic development plan is to make sure that we get more residents hired to our public works projects. I think there was a 2008 study that showed that two-thirds of the wages were being given to folks outside the county, and I don't think that's acceptable, and we have to bring that percentage down. And transit is a big part of jobs and economic development, you know, getting people to places of commerce so they can purchase things, and getting people to work, getting kids to school. So the transit and jobs and economic development thing are very intertwined. I mean, the state budget is going to really hurt our revenue as far as state aid for transit, looking at $7 million. So there's been multiple ideas floated as far as, major, you know, four major routes cut, weekend service and night service slashed. And I don't think Milwaukee can sustain that. So I got three parks. I got three major parks. I got about five. But Tiefenthaler is a park that has become very violent over the years. And when I was knocking on doors talking to the people of the district, they don't send their kids there. It's a very unsafe park. So you have all this green space, beautiful park, being not utilized at all because of criminal elements. And so I have to find ways to get funding and work with the Sheriff's Department to make sure we get some activity there. Even in Johnson's Park, there's some criminal activity. I mean, the King Center is always, from what I've heard from my colleagues, it's always up on the cutting board each year. So to make sure we protect the King Center, because, you know, a lot of folks in my area, they utilize those services. A lot of kids go there after school. So there's a lot of different issues, but it comes back down to quality of life, and there's a lot of different things that I want to do, but getting people to work and getting folks in a way that they can get to work is some of my biggest priorities.
As we wrap up here, I'm curious to see, you know, so far, is the job what you thought it was, or are there some things that were totally different than you thought they would be?
The thing about when you're running, you never think about winning, and you don't think about how it's going to be when you get there. So I can't really say yet. I'm just trying to get an office and actually get my nameplate and find out what committees I'm going to be on. So I'm still learning the decorum, the etiquette, what's expected of me. My constituents have been great, because they've been calling, very supportive. You know, don't worry about us, just get settled and then come back out and talk to us. So I'm just learning. So I don't quite know what I expected the job to be. I knew that I'd be working hard, making a lot of tough decisions, because the county has some fiscal realities. You know, trying to build rapport with my colleagues, with the chairman, and just find out exactly what this is all about. So ask me and actually by the budget, by the time the budget.
Okay, and now you're filling the rest of the current term, right, which is a year. Then you're going to have to turn around and run again.
I mean, the good thing about me, and this is what the advantage that I have over my colleagues, is that I had a recent election where 3,140 people decided that they wanted me to represent them. They don't quite have that advantage. So I won with a very substantial percentage. It's going to be tough for somebody to come after me. And if I could do that without a name, you know, you give me a year to really get in my district and make some change and really get out here and work, and you're going to have a very, very formidable opponent if someone chooses to take me on. So I'm not really worried about it. I figure if you do your job, you know, if you focus on doing what's right, voting with the conscience, representing your people, being visible, you know, you'll be okay. So I'm not worried about that.
Well, thanks for being on the program. We'll have you on again later this year and talk about some of the big issues that you'll be debating later on. So thanks for being with us.
I look forward to it. No problem.
That's County Supervisor Eon Biddle Sr. Up next, we'll chat with another newly elected County Board Supervisor, Jason Haas, when Inside the County Board continues on News Talk 11.